To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
We are off and rolling Monday, September 29, 2025. Grizzlies Media Day 2025 as well. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, Gabe Kuhn, on @Kuhn71. Alongside me, as always, lately.
At least for today.
Great. At least for today. Not as always. No Connor today. But we have George Ruggiero. King George 94. You hear him mostly on Jeffrey Wright and Company. But he's joining me today. George, how you doing, brother?
Man, it's been a long day. Is that fair? Is that fair to say for us?
You've been doing a lot of production.
We have both. Yes, we have both been doing a lot of producing and recording and talking and things.
Yes, yes, yes. But we are absolutely loaded up today. Whew. Glad to say it. We will talk some college football throughout the show. We'll have David Cobb at 5 o'clock and Harold Grader at 6 o'clock per normal, and we'll talk about the weekend's action. Week 5 was great. Off the top of this show, but it is Grizzlies Media Day 2025, so. We have plenty to get to there as well. Basketball season is on the way. So, here is the show. Tomas Isolo, new Grizzlies head coach at 4:30. Following him, Ja Morant will join the program right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. Like I mentioned, David at 5:30, Jaren Jackson Jr. will give us some time. And then 6 o'clock, Harold Grader, 6:30. I'm sure a lot of people want to hear from this guy, Cedric Howard. Cedric Howard, Grizzlies' number 11 overall pick in the 2025 NBA draft. Really excited to catch up with him. But between all that, 5:50, bottom, the last segment of the second hour, small talk will run as normal, and then we will have the rewind to cap off the show. Excited to catch up with all these guys, though, for real, for real. We're getting to that golden era of the sports calendar, that golden sports calendar. We have Major League Baseball playoffs. We're going to have basketball before we know it. College and pro, football's rolling right along, NFL. I mean, we are just loaded up with stories and talking points from here until we get to about February. I mean, it's going to be great.
The best time of the year.
It's
the
phenomenal.
Best time.
And for you, hockey.
Of the year.
Hockey.
I was about to say, I'm thinking, I'm wondering when is...
You don't want me to leave that out. I know.
Never, never. No, I'm wondering when the, what do they call it? They call it the sports equinox when you've got one game from just about everything going on at the same time.
Well, yeah, but I don't know the day.
I don't know. Are we going to have one this year? I don't think we have one every year, do we?
I don't know. I think we would. Right?
We do most years, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's usually like a Thursday or something where you've got Thursday night football, NBA, college football, like everything going on all in one night.
Yes.
Those are both the best and the worst.
Yes. All right. Now, I'm going to start with... probably my favorite victory lap I'll take all year. My victory lap has to do with, listen, not Penn State losing, okay, but Oregon and Dante Moore thriving. I think Penn State is still going to be okay. I think they're going to be a college football playoff team. I still think they're tremendously talented. But Oregon and Dante Moore having replaced all they had to replace, and Dan Lanning and Will Stein just hitting the portal as hard as possible and developing behind the scenes all the high school players they've brought in the past couple of years, to get a win like that in double overtime during the whiteout game on the road was absolutely tremendous. I learned a couple of things. One, Oregon is going to compete for a Big Ten title this year, just like they won last year, okay? And the other thing I learned is Dante Moore, I'll say it is as simple as possible. If he is not number one on your Heisman ballot after week five, I don't know what you're doing with your life. 30-24, win in double OT. I'll get to the stats in a second, George. But watching that game from start to finish, the thing that really stuck out to me, the kid is unflapped. You cannot bother him. That was one of the most raucous environments he will ever play in. And when you just think about where he's coming from, UCLA, sitting a year at Oregon after a tough time at UCLA, getting used to this offense, finally starting for Oregon after a year with Dillon Gabriel in front of him. For him to just, after every single down, just look around, not really have any moments of concern, not really have any moments where he's making mistakes with the football. He knew when to throw it. He knew when to tuck and run. That's what stuck out to me. He had a full understanding of what he wanted to do, and he accomplished it in a big way. Here are the final stats for Dante Moore in that game on the road against the number three team in the country during their whiteout. 29 for 39, 248, three touchdowns, no turnovers, and he ran for another 35 yards. And a lot of those runs were very timely, second and third down, decently long, where he went and converted for his team. I was so impressed with Oregon. Now, they have it laid out in front of them. They're going to control their own destiny. They get Indiana coming up in a couple of weeks after the bye. And then the rest of the year seems relatively manageable. At Rutgers, versus Wisconsin, at Iowa, versus Minnesota, versus USC, and then they end the year, of course, on the road against Washington, who's a capable team. But Oregon really impressed me this weekend.
It was all three phases. Honestly, like the defense showed up big, and I understand we can say, okay, well, Penn State was able to score and move the ball late in the game when it was really on the line. But, I mean, up until when would you say? At the start of the fourth quarter? I'm looking at this game like this is an OG, old school, Big Ten. Right. Like this game is going to end, you know, 16-13.
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, man, I thought these two teams were supposed to be these high-powered offenses, you know, these super talented quarterbacks. But Oregon, in all three phases, played a 100%. Pretty clean game. Dante Moore was phenomenal. The only emotion we saw throughout the game was after it was all done.
Yep.
Was after the game was over. Dan Lanning showed enough emotion. Dan Lanning.
He showed some real emotion there in that post-game interview.
And there, to me, there's nothing wrong with, like, that is an emotionally draining game.
You could
game.
Tell he couldn't wait to get in front of his team and go celebrate.
Oh, my. I could only imagine what that away locker room was looking like after that game.
Yes.
I bet that place
and
was
I,
on
and
fire.
I, honestly, I thought it was a nice touch for the Oregon team, and some people may disagree with me, to go over and show the Penn State fans what they came to see that night. They ran right up to the Penn State fans after the game and started to say goodbye, started to try to pump them up, get it loud in
get
there,
a little
get
energy
the
in the
going.
Building. Yeah.
That was a very fun game, and to your point, it wasn't just Dante Moore, even though that's my victory lap today.
I was going to say, are we really going to lap that five?
They were very, very good. They got off the field on third down. Defensively, the secondary held up. They got the takeaway, the one takeaway they needed. And I just, getting into overtime in that environment, that should favor a home team, especially with Penn State coming from behind to push it to overtime. And they just stuck the course and played it out, won the ball game. That's what you need to do in that situation. And Oregon is not to be taken lightly. I can tell you that. They're number two in the country in the latest AP poll. Now, I have to get your thoughts and how you're feeling. Ole Miss, big, big win at home against LSU.
Massive.
It was ugly at times, but they pulled through 24-19. Trinidad Chambliss, phenomenal yet again. 314 yards, a touchdown. He did throw the pick, but he also ran for 71 yards. I will say this. I don't think Austin Simmons is getting his job back. You beat the number four team in the country, put up those type of stats. He has thrown for 300 and run for 50 in all three games he has been a part of. I think he could be a sneaky sort of Heisman look if you want to look at that and see what he does the rest of the year. I know it's an SEC schedule, bound to lose one, maybe two. We'll see how it goes. But this was a big test for that Ole Miss team to pass against the number 4 team in the country, a improved defense in LSU. Did a hell of a job on Saturday.
To say, you know, obviously, hindsight, it was never in doubt. We had it the entire time, you know, all that.
Right,
it's, in hindsight, you look at it and you say that, but genuinely, being in the building, for one thing, and this is just across the board, across the SEC, SEC has to do something with some of these officials.
Like, sure.
And I mean, bad.
Just yes, all, not good.
All over
but
the place.
But I will say, I don't think any conference likes their officials, but SEC fans tend to hate their officials more than the rest of the country.
The fact that we're in the building, and I have so many people looking at me going, is this the same crew from Oklahoma-Auburn?
Right, right. Like, where they didn't know the rules.
Like, that should tell you something. But even beyond that, I mean, I'm looking at the, like, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, this doesn't, like, this feels like it should be more than a touchdown or more than five. And I go back and look at the numbers. I'm like, the turnovers and penalties, which there were a ton of undisciplined penalties or penalties.
14 for 109 and a win. That's
exactly
what Ole Miss had.
Like, that very well could have or should have been a blowout. Like, the offense was able to move the ball almost at will at times. There were plenty of offensive holdings, which most of them I'm like, okay, yeah, LSU has elite, elite athletes on that defense. You're going to get caught up at times. That's bound to happen. But the most impressive part of that win, beyond Trinidad Chambliss' play, because the biggest thing for me with him, and to me the biggest difference I've seen between him and what we've seen out of Austin Simmons, one word, poise.
Yes.
He has just, like, under pressure, he's been able to move the ball effectively. He's been able to run the ball. And what I found interesting, too, is the biggest mistake in the game came back to bite him, but it didn't come back to bite the team.
Yep.
The defense that Ole Miss was able to play, they shut down LSU's offense, which we talked about this all last week as being the bigger test as, okay, which team's weakness is going to drown them the most? LSU's offense was gross.
Yes. Disgusting.
Like, just bad. Bad play calling, bad, just bad play in general. They couldn't, how much, do you have the stats in front of you?
I have the stat in front of me. They ran 22 times for 57 yards.
Yikes.
It's not good.
No.
And that gets me to LSU. I think to this point, we're starting to learn something about Brian Kelly, what we, you know, may not have learned in his first couple of years. It felt like he was finally on the up and up. You have Garrett Nussmeier coming back. You have Berrion Brown coming in to play wide receiver for you through the transfer portal. Big get.
That dude's stud, by the way.
Granted, you had to replace 4 or 5 offensive linemen. That's tough to do for everybody, but you went into the transfer portal. You developed some guys that you felt comfortable with coming into this season. So we thought this offense was going to be very, very good, right? We thought that. And defensively, we had our questions, but Blake Baker, their defensive coordinator, going into year two, we figured, okay, they'd take a step in the right direction. Their defense is very good.
Oh, yeah.
Offense, what's going on? What is happening? Because I look around college football, and I see a lot of incumbent starters really seeming to struggle. Drew Aller lost a ball game, didn't look very good against Penn State. Cade Klubnik with Clemson, what's going on there? Then you see Garrett Nussmeier with LSU. I think Garrett Nussmeier is a little more explainable than the others. I think his wide receivers are not necessarily, you know, great route-running guys, target-eating guys that he can just target on every single down. He's got more speed than route-running talent, so there's an explanation. Yes, you could talk about the offensive line being brand new, but I think with that offensive line being brand new and with their backs, that's where you start to explain it for Garrett Nussmeier. He's got to have a run game. You got to have some level of run game in the SEC for a quarterback to have success. It's very rare where a quarterback can just air it out for 400 yards and go win a ball game on his back. I don't think Garrett Nussmeier is a bad quarterback. I just think that offense is very incomplete. And when we look at Brian Kelly, getting back to him, he has had good offense, bad defense up to this point. Now he has good defense, bad offense. He cannot seem to put it all together, put all those pieces of the puzzle in the right spots in the same year. And I thought this year he was going to be able to capitalize. I don't think the books closed on LSU by any stretch of the imagination. I think that offense could start to roll, could get better as the season goes along. But up to this point, that offense is probably one of the biggest disappointments in college football today. Because of who they have at quarterback, because of the talent they brought in, it's a massive disappointment. You have to be able to run the ball. And I remember him against Florida. They win 20-10. They get the 5 picks from DJ Lagway. He goes off on the reporters after the game because they were asking about the run game. What's up with your run game? And he said, we got one. That's all we needed. He went off. But those reporters, just like us sitting in these seats, we knew that that was going to come back and bite you at some point in the year. You have to address those things. I'm not saying he didn't, but he was very defensive about it after that Florida game, and I think that was the biggest difference on Saturday.
I want to go back and look at the actual number, because one of the other things that reporter, who Brian Kelly pretty unceremoniously just berated.
Yes, now granted, he apologized after. I want to throw that in there.
Of course.
but damage done.
Especially on camera. Like on camera to do that. Of course, you can appreciate the apology, which we all do. What was the other big thing that reporter had a problem with?
It was offense in general.
But there was something specific. The run game. There was one other thing that they did very poorly in Oxford this weekend.
Third down. 2 for 11.
2 for 11. And the thing is, a lot of that is putting yourself behind the sticks.
And not being able to stay on schedule because of the
run game. The average, and this was going into the game, I'm not sure what it was after the game. I haven't pulled this yet. But going into the game on Saturday, on average, do you know why their third downs were so bad? They were averaging 3rd and 7.8. They were almost averaging 3rd and 8 every series.
That's awful.
And you're expecting that, to me, that's a clear passing down.
Yes.
Anything
beyond. Of course.
3rd and 6, that's a clear passing
down. Offensive lineman getting a 2-point stance. You're pass setting.
You're standing up.
You're pass setting.
And you expect defenses not to clock that?
And you expect Garrett Nussmeier to just be better than every defense he faces in the SEC on 3rd and 7 and 8, every single third down he faces? No, that's not how that works. Even the best quarterbacks struggle in those situations, besides maybe Joe Burrow at LSU in 2019, but this ain't that.
Yeah, when he threw
They had a run game then.
They had a run game.
And I'm sure they were way more on schedule offensively than this offense.
Probably.
It's just, you know, I know there's a lot of criticism for Garrett Nussmeier, and sure, some of it's deserved. But I think a lot of what they're doing is setting him up for failure. Setting him up for failure and setting him up to not be as productive as he probably should be. The run game has to be better if they want to be a national title contending team. It's that simple. That simple.
There was one thing as well in that first point that we were just talking about with the veteran quarterbacks that I found interesting, in that there is one veteran quarterback, but someone who didn't stay, someone who hasn't had continuity, who's actually looked really good. And I wonder what you think about the situation in Miami with Carson Beck, because he has a lot of college football under his belt, but he's in a new situation. He's with a new staff, a team that is really good in the trenches.
I
does have a bit of a run game, has talent around him.
Yeah, succeeding.
Is it only that, or is it the mix? Because up until probably midway through last season, we all looked at Carson Beck as probably one of the better veteran quarterbacks in college football at the time. Now, the back end of last season clearly did not go his way, to the point, obviously the injury involved,
sure,
to the point that the way I looked at that situation, Georgia said, you know what? We're going to roll with Gunner.
Yes. And fans were calling for it.
Fans absolutely were calling for it. He wasn't.
Can I say this, though?
Yes.
I think he got unfairly scapegoated when he was at Georgia.
I tend to agree.
In a pretty big way. Because we'll talk about Georgia here in a second, but their trenches aren't the same as they once were.
Nope.
Offensive line, they're not churning them out every single year for the NFL draft like they used to. They're not showing the dominance there. And I also think that no matter what they have tried on the outside, they're just not finding a bunch of success with their skill positions at wide receiver and with their pass catchers, post Brock Bowers, really. They're just not finding it. And they brought in Zachariah Branch this offseason, just not what it should be. His wide receiver core, his pass catchers last year, led the led college football in drops. Like, I always thought Carson Beck was a good quarterback. He just got unfairly scapegoated. Also worth mentioning, Mike Bobo, too.
Mm.
I think you get scapegoated a lot when Mike Bobo's your offensive coordinator. But, like, to the point you're bringing up, it's just insane to see these remade offenses with first-year starters at new places having way a ton more success than the continuity and the incumbent starter, the Drew Aller, the Cade Klubnik, the Garrett Nussmeier. All these schools that went out and got that big portal guy at the quarterback position are succeeding in a massive way. All the guys that maybe have waited as well, and this is their first year starting, are having a ton of success. But the guys that have started year over year, it just doesn't look like it should.
And even there, it's not even the big name portal guys. I mean, they may have been for this cycle.
Trinidad Chambliss doing what he's doing.
That's not even the thought that I'm looking at. Because when you say the big portal names, I mean, and look at the guys having success. Did we think Joey Aguilar was going to do what he's doing?
Did we think Fernando Mendoza?
That's exactly where I thought. I'm thinking Indiana had a great offense last year. We understand their schedule may not exactly be the strongest. They're in the top half of the Big Ten, so they play a lot of the bottom half. But did you or I expect Fernando Mendoza to go out there and just light people up?
I think he'd be good. I thought he'd be good, but I didn't think he'd be what he is right now. Hanging 63 on Illinois, I didn't think that. I don't think anybody thought that.
And how much did we talk about we don't need to talk about the UCLA side.
Right.
But Joey Aguilar, we had tons of questions about. We said, well, he wasn't great at UCLA. He struggled at times at App State. And now he's in an offensive system that there is a lot on the quarterback's shoulders.
Yep.
And he's running it.
Yes.
It looks good.
Although I did watch the game this weekend. Good win by Tennessee in overtime. It gets a much improved Mississippi State team. Shout out to Jeff Lebby and State fans, because I know that you're enjoying this a whole lot more than you've been able to enjoy that program in the past couple of years. You deserve it, to be honest with you. But looking at Joey Aguilar, he's really running it. I will say, though, he is doing kind of his first year at App State impression, where
at times
he looks really good. He makes some really good plays. Then he throws that one boneheaded interception. You're like, what the hell was that? You've played perfect ball through two quarters. You get into the second half, and here's this nasty interception that puts the other team in a great great spot to come back and make something happen.
To give him a little bit of grace from the game on Saturday, here are some nasty drops.
Sure.
In this case.
I hear
But
that.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yes. That's always been my
Once
thing.
Once in a while, you're like, why did you do that?
Why? He shares the Josh Hoover gene.
He does. Yes, 100%.
Also, if you want to look at that one, this weekend, go back and look at Friday for Josh Hoover. We keep saying it.
Yeah, there were some good games on Friday.
We had some great football really games this weekend.
Really good games. Of course, Arizona State was able to get over top of TCU. But that Virginia-Florida State game, let's get to Bama. Is Bama back? Because this is a mixed bag of results here, brother. Because I do my try to do team math, compare transitive property.
Your transitive property, yeah.
Right. You have Bama losing to Florida State to start the year. They've looked good. They beat Georgia this past Saturday on the road, no less, but they didn't score a point in the second half, which is something that you should mention. You should mention about that game.
Very important.
And then you watch Florida State go down to Virginia on the road. And that was a hell of a field storming. One of the best I've ever seen. Those fans were ready to go, ripping and roaring, ready to go. And good for Tony Elliott to finally, it seems like he's breaking through. And Chandler Morris, well, he's kind of got that Josh Hoover gene, too.
He does. He rips it.
But, I want to sit here and say Bama's back in that title contention. I believe in them. Again, I want to get there. But there's just these little data points along the way that just hold me back. One, Alabama's always been successful against Kirby at Georgia. Kalen DeBoer's now 2-0. Kirby is 1-7 against Alabama all time since he's joined that Georgia football program. But no points in that second half. Lost to Florida State. I want to say Bama's back. I'm just not fully ready to commit just because I know this schedule is still going to have its potential upsets. There's some things on this schedule that could make Alabama slip up, even though they're a top 10 team in the country now.
What, like
you
this
have
weekend?
Vandy
like
this weekend. College game day is going to be there. Vandy hasn't been undefeated, a number six, a top 20 team in a long time. They're going to be ready to go. On the road against Mizzou, Bo Prabula's looked really good, and that team looks good. Tennessee handled business against them last year. So that's another, and I think they're better than they were, Tennessee, especially offensively, than they were a year ago. Then you're going to have LSU around. Then you have Oklahoma by the time John Mateer likely comes back in November.
Oh, yeah. Mateer should be back.
And here's what I'll say. I still think Auburn's a capable team. Like, I want to sit here after that Georgia win or that Alabama win over Georgia and say that they're back. I'm not quite ready to really put my name on that. I'm not ready to stamp them as, okay, national title contender. They'll be in the playoff, no doubt. I'm ready to go.
There were a couple things from that game, some notes that I picked out. One specifically was, the clear value there of their starting running back. Jam Miller was awesome at times.
Yes. I mean, he...
coming back from injury.
Really tough yards.
Very
not
tough sledding.
Not a lot of yards, but tough yards.
And
falling forward.
And important yards. Like, especially in that second half where... even though they weren't scoring, a lot of that ended up being clock control. They needed to keep Georgia's offense off the field, and Miller helped out with that. But at the same time, the goose egg to not put up any points in a half of football after putting up 24 in the first half.
There's kind of a catch-22 to that because they did stay on the field, and they did convert third downs even in that second half.
That's kind of where I'm looking at it, is a lot of it is just clock control, eating up as much time.
Sort of old school A.J. McCarron.
Limiting possessions.
Greg McElroy, baby.
Yes, got to limit the possessions for the other team. And sure, that's a strategy, but we're also talking about a Georgia team where, not just in this game, but really through a good chunk of their season, what's one of the big things in that offense that we've been wanting more from that we used to see? Explosives.
Yep.
They aren't able to take the top off and stretch the defense as much as they have in the past. Now, could that be plenty of things? Could that be the receivers, the back,
like
quarterback? But exactly, there's so many different things where Georgia has those struggles, but who's to say that game doesn't go completely differently if they get one?
Yep, 100%. 100%.
Just one. I mean, against Vanderbilt, do we think Pavi is not going to just rip off a big run at some point?
I think he'll get an explosive.
He tends to do that.
Yeah.
Prabula in that Mizzou offense, they've looked sharp. They've looked good. And that's probably their biggest game of the season.
Yep.
Because they have a pretty light SEC schedule. We just saw with Tennessee, how many games now? Two in a row where
they will make it happen. Did it against Georgia.
Even in a loss, they can make it happen offensively. And if you struggle to move the ball, and for what it's worth as well, Tennessee's defense, not bad.
Yeah. Right.
And by then, they should be healthier.
Yep. But in this game, Alabama possessed the ball for 35 minutes. Georgia possessed the ball for 24 minutes. Georgia didn't run the ball very well.
No.
I think they had a good average, but they sort of abandoned it at some points. Gunnar Stockton had 20 passes. They just didn't possess the ball, run enough plays, I think, in the end of the day. Alabama played keep away in the second half. I think really one of the biggest stats to look at in this game, which it usually matters, but it's third downs. Alabama, 13 for 19 on third down.
It's a good clip.
Georgia, 2 for 8. There's a big difference there. There's a big difference there.
Even there, like, even the fact that you only got to third down 8 times throughout the game, isn't that kind of concerning in a way?
Yes. You didn't possess the ball enough.
Like, you just clearly didn't, like, you just didn't run enough plays. The thing is, the total yardage, pretty similar between the two teams. The fumble, the turnover there by Georgia definitely, you know, matters. The penalties definitely didn't help. But, I mean, it was just a weird game.
Yep. Now, another weird game that worked out for my side, right? Memphis beats Ford Atlantic.
Oh, I was 55-26. I watched most of the first half of this.
Yeah, it was 16-10 for most of the first half. Greg DeRozier ran one in to end the first half. It was 17-16. So Memphis had a 1-point lead. But then third quarter, you had a 90-yard run by Greg DeRozier. Fourth quarter, 31-7. Tigers prevailed. That's why you get to the 55-26. But in the end of the day, I will say, I am glad Ryan, this is my takeaway, and this is kind of a lame takeaway for some people. My takeaway, yeah, they're running the hell out of the ball, ran for over 300 yards. That's great. And Greg DeRozio had 200 coming off injury. That's great. My big takeaway is Ryan seems to be he seems to be latching on to style points more than he has in the past. Right?
Yeah.
Because good teams win, great teams cover. And he is 5-0, 5 wins, 5 covers. That's what Ryan has done with this team with 72 new players on it from a season ago. They're rolling. They're rolling. Yeah. But it's sort of 1 week at a time for them to see how it looks. I don't want to see them on a consistent basis, you know, allow inferior offenses to put up the amount of yards that Florida Atlantic did. Caden Veltkamp threw for 312. And he has not had that good of a game this entire year. Tulsa is going to be capable. They've put up some decent yards this year. I have come to the realization that this defense, they're going to give up yards, but hopefully they can be opportunistic as possible. And as long as the offense keeps holding up their end of the bargain, it seems like they'll continue to roll in conference. I know that John Martin put this out a bit earlier, but it's worth mentioning. And I think this has been a big sort of talking point, and need to discuss it when it comes to the Memphis Tigers. But they're 11th in rushing yards per attempt in college football through five games, 14th in points per game, and they're 21st in rushing yards per attempt allowed. They don't let other teams run the ball and eat up a lot of clock. So I've been impressed with this team. Just got to keep rolling.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing for me was, for one, the the opportune points at the end of the half for Memphis to then start with the ball in the second half. Little things like that, like situational football, I feel like they've been very good at so far throughout the season. And that's very important. The other big thing of note for me in this game, other than, like, I expected the run game to be as good as it has been. You've got this many good backs, a good running quarterback.
Didn't even run Sutton. Didn't need to.
No.
7 rushes, 26 yards.
Don't have to. But thing is, okay, what happens if next game is a Sutton game?
Yeah.
Like, that's certainly
options.
Possible. Yeah.
It's good to have options.
And
for sure. Or it could be a Brendan Lewis.
That's where I'm going. I mean, yeah. You've got options, and options, options. It keeps defenses honest. And the other big thing that kept them honest.
Yes. Say it.
Wide receiver 1.
Yes.
Cortez Graham.
Isn't that great? Because I had questions really after the first couple of weeks. Okay, who's going to break through? Jamari Hawkins had led them in receiving. Cortez Graham, 2 straight games, 100 yards plus and a touchdown. And in this game, he was all over the place.
6 for 127 and 2 touchdowns.
6 for 127, 2 touchdowns. And the long one there at the end. The long one there at the end of the game. 73 yards. Got a little breakaway speed.
Oh, yeah.
So he's come along.
That's
so they have
very important.
All the pieces. I do worry about health. It's just natural.
Always.
But they have enough on the offensive side of the ball to just keep rolling. And, you know, it looks different, but it's just as effective as Seth was the last 2 to 3 years. It really is. That's what it's looked like
in
the first
in just
games.
A different way.
Yeah, completely different. Looks different. You know, all the time may not be the most visibly pleasing because they're not airing the ball out as much, but it works. Works just the same. They can put up 500 yards of offense the snap of a finger against the competition they're playing. Put up 489 against Arkansas. Awesome. So,
and even in this game, I mean, they ran for almost 300 yards.
Yeah, so I enjoy that.
But that's
where I question, like, other football fans, do you enjoy that as much as I do? I like seeing different run schemes.
I like
seeing people pop through for 90 yards. And by the way, longest run, they haven't had a 90-yard touchdown run since 1966. At least I saw that on the ESPN.
Wow.
So good for Greg DeRozier to make that happen.
Great for him.
Yeah. But
I love it.
Tigers have Tulsa coming up. Then before long, USF, just got to win till you get there and make all these home games, USF, Navy.
You got to make them matter.
You can make them matter. You have a chance to make them matter. So we'll see how that all goes. All right, now let's get to the Grizzlies Media Day portion. 2025 Media Day is today. And coming up next, we'll talk to the new head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, Tomas Isolo. Make sure you stick around for that.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.
Back in Grizzlies Media Day 2025. Gabe Kuhn here with Tomas Isolo, new head coach of your Memphis Grizzlies. How's it going?
It's going really well. Excited about the season and really excited to get the training camp started.
Yep, but this is your first Media Day as an NBA head coach. Taking in all the sights and sounds. Everything been all smooth today? All million interviews you have to do?
All million interviews have been very smooth. People have been asking me, you know, is it a lot different from Europe? And it's like, it's the same things. It's just everything is exponentially bigger.
Yep, for sure. All right, now, I was already a fan of you.
That's good to hear.
Before you did your presser today. But I became even more of a fan of you when you because I'm a University of Memphis alum, played football there for 4 years. And you were speaking my language at the end of your presser today. You wrapped up your media session by comparing what you and your team want to do coming up this year to Sunday Night Football and the complexities of offensive motion and decision making. So, one, how much football do you take in, right? You're not originally from the United States of America. How much do you like the sport? And two, what did you sort of mean by that and elaborate on that a little bit?
So, short history. Around 2003, that's over 20 years ago, I used to play a lot of Madden with the American guys who were in our team in Finland. So that's how I got to know that particular era. And okay. Something about something about football coaches also always resonated with me. So guys like Vince Lombardi, Bill Walsh especially, yeah. Bill Parcells, Belichick, Joe Gibbs, guys from that era, they've written great books in detail about their process, and it's helped me a ton to grow as a basketball coach. And there are, you know, to this day, some of the elements in our offense have been taken from, you know, those are principles from the Air Raid offense.
Okay.
You know, and, nice. And it's funny because Mike Leach, before he joined, you know, Hal Mummy and building that, he was in Finland coaching. So,
oh, wow.
So,
okay.
And I took a long break, you know, like most of the Europeans, I would watch the Super Bowl. There would be a special, mostly in the morning, you know, and in Europe, it's in the morning. And so I would watch that, but now I've been getting back into it. And I really like the production, and I like where the game is going, how much faster and more complex it is.
Right, and when it comes to sort of that misdirection, that motion, how do you apply that to a basketball floor with five guys on the floor and trying to play with the defensive eyes?
It's all about complexity, making complexity look simple.
Right.
So it's simple for us, but very complex for the opponent. So the opponent might see multiple things, but we know exactly what we are going to do, and that makes us the faster team out of the two. And in most of these sports, the faster party will always have the upper hand.
Mm-hmm. All right, now take me behind the scenes when it comes to coaching Ja Morant. When you took over last year, he seemed to have a nice little bump in pick and roll actions and everything like that. How much do you expect to implement that at the start of next season and throughout the season?
Yeah, obviously it's a very different situation right now.
Right.
You know, having that, you know, whole summer runway and now the training camp to build it up. But both him and Jaren are, in my opinion, I think they will end up being all NBA performers at some point in their career. And it's just about making sure that they have the right personnel around them that supports their play, but also conceptually highlighting their strengths, and then having a culture that overall supports development. And then we are right now here in the practice court, and this is, you know, where the magic happens.
Right.
It's literally, you know, the daily work in the end. Then are we going to challenge our guys enough, have the standards high enough, but also because those guys are so talented, of giving them enough difficulties in practice.
Now, rewinding a little bit, how was it truly, like we've heard you speak on it, but how was it truly that transition from Coach Jenkins getting fired, you taking over, didn't have much practice time? Like, what was that like? The pressure, everything else, not being able to implement what you wanted. Was it frustrating at times?
It wasn't frustrating. It's like I've done this thing for a long time now,
right.
the head coaching thing. It's more like you feel like you're in a leaky boat with 13 holes and you got 12 plugs and you're kind of moving them around.
Yeah.
You know, that's the feeling. Yeah. The like
you have a little cup of water trying to get
exactly
the water out.
So that's what you're doing in that moment, and you're trying to make these small adjustments. You're thinking about all the time, like, I hope this is not too much, because you don't want the, when you add tactically things, usually the legs get slower of the players.
Yeah.
Because there's more thinking. They're not habits anymore.
Paralysis by analysis.
That's exactly right. And in that situation, that's definitely not what you want. So it was a very, very fine balance, and overall a very challenging situation, but one that once more was a thing that I look fondly back, because you also grow from those challenges.
All right. Now I'll let you roll after this, but I have to ask you, how much do you like Memphis? I don't know how much people have gotten to pick your brain about that. And how much different is it than anywhere else you've ever been in the world, curiously?
I love Memphis.
Right.
I really do. From the first moment that I stepped here, is the people are amazing. The people that I work with on a daily basis are amazing. But also we found my family and I have found so many friends off the court that
right.
are now, you know, buying season tickets, or you know, we're going to Cars and Coffee together, or stuff like this, you know, and just a very warm and welcoming community overall. And then how invested they are in the Grizzlies, that brings a ton of meaning into the daily work of everybody here, because you're not doing it for yourself, you're not doing it only for the team, you're doing it also to help a community feel great about themselves, and that's also our you know, one of our biggest goals is to create this chemistry and togetherness and feeling of pride for everybody who's involved in the process, that I'm with these guys.
Yep.
this is my team, and they represent what we want them to represent.
That's well stated. Well, I'll let you roll. I appreciate it. Good luck coming up this season.
Thank you so much.
He is Tomas Isolo, the head coach of your Memphis Grizzlies.
All right, now that was Tomas Isolo, head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. I have to bring you in for a second before we get to Ja here, George. One thing that I learned today that I really love Tomas for,
yeah,
is the fact that he is a ball knower. That
oh.
football part of that conversation was phenomenal. He even knew the How Mummy coaching tree, talked about Joe Gibbs, right? Bill Walsh. I mean, that it's interesting, though, because I think a lot of basketball coaches, and Taylor Jenkins did this when he was the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, like they are implementing some concepts, and I don't know how they get it to translate, but they do. But they're implementing concepts that they're learning in the National Football League and from college football.
The fact that he specifically picked out, and a lot of them are coaches that have done a lot of similar things over the years, at least in the Bill Walsh, the Mike Leach, like that West Coast, that air raid. I'm like, first off,
right.
He knows ball.
Yes,
like, he knows ball
sure.
here. Second 100%. Off, I'm like, but this is all consistent. Like, there's a level of, like, cognitive consistency with this that, one, makes sense for basketball because a lot of it is the motion and the movement and the speed of it, and it's consistent with what he's saying and what he's saying that he's trying to teach for the offensive system here.
Yeah, and he said air raid concepts is what he uses within his offensive system, and I'm curious to see how that looks. But I was very impressed, guy being born in Finland, knowing as much as he knows about American football. Now, I also caught up with Ja Morant earlier today, so here's that.
Media Day 2025, and joining me is all-star point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies, Ja Morant. Ja, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, so you had a pretty lively offseason, huh?
Had the
Asian tour for Nike. How was that, man? How was it?
It was good, man. Definitely new experience. Culturally, but you know, the love was pretty much the same. I was actually surprised, you know, with the outcome of, you know, how much people was there to, you know, support.
Yeah, is that surreal? Like, obviously, you know, you have the national outreach, right? You know that people here in the United States that follow the NBA are going to handle it. But is it kind of surreal to go over there and see
insane.
You have the same, if not more, outreach
yeah,
over there?
For sure, it's definitely insane. I had moments where, you know, I sat down and, you know, processed it, but it really didn't hit to my last day having to, you know, fly back.
Right,
fly
for sure.
Back, that it really hit me, like, that I had, you know, pretty much a whole tour out there that was filled with, you know, constant love, comfort, and everything.
Yeah, food over there, all right?
Yeah, it was pretty decent. Definitely different.
Yeah.
But
were you glad to be back here for food, though, by the time you got done
yeah,
with it?
Yeah, way more seasoning. Way more seasoning.
Yeah, especially here. Especially
yeah.
in town. No,
yeah.
I hear that. All right, now getting to basketball. New head coach, Tomas Isolo. You played with him down the stretch last year, but you guys didn't get a whole bunch of practice time. So I was talking to him earlier, and he said you guys sort of got back to what you were comfortable with, and then you would switch it up game to game depending on the situation.
Yeah.
Now that you've had this full off season with Tomas and his system, what can you tell us about it, and how comfortable are you with what he wants you guys to do?
I'm very comfortable. You know, he's pretty straightforward, preaching the right things, tell guys, you know, what he expect of them. If you're not playing up to par, he's definitely going to let you know. And I feel like that might take us over the hump, you know, being able to hold guys accountable and nobody feel, you know, any type of way about it. I think will, you know, lead us into the right direction, especially with, you know, the vets and stuff we got. We got a lot of guys, you know, who can speak up and, you know, talk. As far as playing style, his number one is speed kills, and
right.
I don't think it's
Jaren
too
was
many.
Saying that earlier.
I don't think
kills.
It's too many people that you can say more dangerous, you know, in the open floor, you know,
right.
With a full head of steam than, you know, me. So.
Yep.
That's how comfortable I am.
All right. Now, I don't mean to open old wounds or, like, bring up, like, the past from last year, but what was that transition like after Taylor gets fired, Tomas comes in? How, like, what was that transition like mid-season? It seems like it'd be tough for anybody.
Yeah, it definitely was tough. But it was, you know, during the season, so you really couldn't, you know, put too much on it, you know, at that time, because you had to focus on, you know, which game you had coming up and whatever else the case may be.
Right.
Definitely new. He's, you know, Taylor been, you know, my coach pretty much, really
entire
my whole career. Yeah. Seeing, you know, somebody else step in was definitely different. But I know with, you know, me being Jai and, you know, one of the leaders on his team, you know, making, you know, Tomas as comfortable as possible will only help us. And we had talks, you know, last season, definitely way more talks this season, you know, with him in the head spot. But, you know, all in all, it's been good. Definitely tough to, you know, see Taylor go and obviously other guys, you know, leave the team. But we just got to stay focused on the now. And
yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, new faces. Jock Landale comes in. You got Ty Jerome in there. You got KCP. How has the fit been for them right here off the bat?
Fit right in, looks right. Like to me. Obviously, you know, guys you can consider vets in this league for sure. Kenny winning, you know, two championships, Jock being around, you know, a while, Ty having you know, tremendous season with a good Cleveland team last year. Definitely some guys that come in we can see, you know, helping us in the long run. But most importantly, some more voices, you know, yeah, we have in the locker room. And with Tomas, like I said, you know, he's pretty straightforward, so I'm pretty sure he had, you know, talks with those guys on, you know, how he's think they can, you know, help with the team. And me, I'm just go out there and let them play with confidence.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now, final thing. I don't know how much you can elaborate on it, but last week's news on Friday, I remember talking about it on my show. Instead of going the normal agency route, you with your family and some people close to you, you're starting an advisory firm. Can you sort of elaborate on that and tell us what went into that decision?
Me being, you know, more in control of, you know, my own destiny and career, pretty much been there. That's really what sums it up.
Right. Okay. Rock on. Well, is this your last interview of the day? Are you you still got more to go?
Yeah, I think I probably got 18 more stations.
Well, you know what? I'll end this one now and I'll let you do that. Appreciate
yes,
it,
sir.
John. He is John Morant, all-star point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day. And get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building. Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.